Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Carl Banks is joining us. Carl, how are you?
Oh, it is Carl.
I'm good, man. How's it going?
Carl, by the way, Carl is brought to you by your local New York, New Jersey, Connecticut Kia dealer, by Town Fair Tire. Nobody but nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And by Geico, you know the deal. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. And I don't even have that there, and I know it.
Look at you.
How about that?
Carl, what, starting now, coming out of the bye week, we know where this season is, where it's going. What do you need to see over the final six games from this franchise to feel good about the coach, to feel good about the team, and to feel good about the future of this franchise?
Well, it's wins. Simple, quite simple.
Wins.
W's. That's what you got to see to feel good about it. I mean, we know the team is a young team, probably the youngest in the league, but you know what? They've had 14 games, including preseason, under their belt. It's time to, you know, to move on from the excuse making of, you know, rookie mistakes. Rookies got to grow up at some point, and they've got to make contributions. That's why they were drafted. Some of these guys are drafted high, and they've got to do a better job of making a contribution for a full 60 minutes. And, you know, that's what it really comes down to right now. You just can't sit here and say, well, it's a young team. It's a young team. They'll get better. Well, they've got to win. That's how they get better. Show that they can win football games, and that's the expectation.
You know, I asked this to Paul Dottino about Barkley. How about where he's at right now? He's obviously had a down season. I know he's had the injury, missed a couple games and all of that. But what's your thoughts right now on where Barkley is, Carl?
Well, he's got to make some adjustments, Joe. Now, he's dealing with an injury, but I think more so than that, and he's made some public statements about letting the outside get into his head and things of that nature. At the end of the day, running backs have got to find the opening and run through it. It's not a matter of making people miss a lot. And he also has now come to the realization that the other team gets paid to defend him, and they're doing their homework, and he's going to have to counter that. And, you know, the great ones do that. The good ones are okay at it, and just average guys never make the adjustment. We're going to find out if he's the great one that we think he is, because he'll just have to make some – he needs to make better decisions sometimes when it's nothing there. He's got to – make something of it, and when there's something there, he's got to go get it. And, you know, we've seen him kind of betwixt and between on a few things this year, and he's got to be a little more decisive and a little more assertive in the way he runs the football.
One question that Pat Shurmur has been asked, even his counterpart this week, Matt Nagy, has been asked this too, is about giving up play calling duty. Do you think that matters? Do you think that is something that would be significant if Shurmur did? Because right now he's, you know, said no. Basically, why has been his response. Do you think that would and could make a difference?
I don't think so. I think, and again, I'm not sure the level of input that he gets on game day and what he vetoes and what he accepts. But I think they do a pretty good job of calling plays, but they've always been calling plays from behind. They don't play from ahead a lot. So I think, I don't know, they just have to, it really comes down to execution, no matter who's calling the plays. They've got to do a better job. I think they do, they have some good plays. They've called some really good plays. And then there's some things that just doesn't look good. And decisions on, you know, fourth and one, empty formations and things like that are going to always come into question no matter who's calling them. And if the head coach is making those calls, then, yeah, you wonder what is he thinking when he goes to an empty formation and removes the threat of the run. Or when he's in shotgun in some formations when maybe the quarterback should be under center. So those things always come into question. And if it were Shula, the play caller, and they were doing this, they'd be saying, why don't they let the head coach make the call?
Oh, yeah. When things are going bad, you always want some kind of change. I think that's part of the frustration that they're 2-8. They've lost six in a row. do something. I think that's the, right. the sentiment of a lot of Giant fans. Yeah.
Evan, yeah. the something is win.
No, no, of course.
Sure.
But do
well,
something to
right.
try to
right.
change the fortunes of this team. Of course, ultimately, it's all about winning. I don't think anybody cares who's calling the plays if they're winning. The problem is they're not winning.
Right.
They haven't won a game in months.
Right. Exactly. And so they, you know, they took the break. Hopefully they did some self-scouting and looked at some things that they could have done better and looked at how they can get their players to play better, too. So it really comes down to that. I mean, we can dance around it, but, you know, coaches' jobs are to win. Their job security is based on wins and losses. And, you know, I'm sure this coach is very aware of that, and he wants to try to win. So we'll see what happens.
All right, the rest of the year, they got six games left. They got two games with the Eagles. They got to play Green Bay. They got this game with the Bears. They do have two games that look winnable, Redskins and Dolphins. What do you need to see you as a Giant fan, whatever you want to call yourself now, an analyst for the Giants? What do you want to see the rest of the way besides, you know, winning? Beside that,
I want to see the development of DeAndre Baker. I want to see if he can get on a track and improve from week to week and not become inconsistent or stay inconsistent because he is, you know, hot and cold and more cold than hot. I want to see more consistency from the offensive line, but progression. You see some things. You see the quarterback continuing to do well. He's got to take care of his ball security. You see a guy like Darius Slayton, who's continuing to improve. So there are a lot of good things. They got to get more guys doing more things. I want to see more consistency from a guy like Lorenzo Carter. I want to see Will Hernandez continue to progress and not have, you know, really bad games. If you can have a few bad plays but not have bad games. Those are the things you got to look at. Yeah, I want to see Saquon Barkley become a better blocker
versus
the blitz because he's going to see it. From now until the end of the season now, until he can stop it. So those are really the things I'm looking for because those are going to be the keys to their victory.
Well, let's go back to the first guy you mentioned, DeAndre Baker, who is not only a first-round pick, but they traded up to draft DeAndre in the first round.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of downs. There's been some ups. When do you feel comfortable judging what a young player is? Because I think a lot of people, sometimes Joe and I too, we're in a rush to say, this guy stinks, he's a bust. And we've seen plenty of busts in this town.
Couple.
But when is a fair time for fans out there to say, all right, this is who I think this guy is?
Well, you can say what you think he is, but you're going to have to give him into the next season to really know if he's learned anything. Because all of these kids, no matter what college they played in, or what conference they played in college, a lot of what they're seeing is new. When I say it's new, they may know what trips formations are. They may know how to play cover two, but they don't know how pro coordinators attack it. And they're being attacked a lot differently, and they're seeing things faster and a little more complex. And then the skill set of the receiver that they're playing against really matters too. And you can tell that with the quarterback, you know, he's seeing cover two as cover two, and it could be something, it could be man. He's seeing cover three as cover one, as in the Patriot game. So they're all seeing it for the first time, but what you want to see is some type of core fundamental foundation where you say, well, this guy does this well. He has to improve on it. We don't see that with DeAndre Baker yet. You see some flashes, but not enough to say, well, he's really good in press coverage or he's really good in this. We don't see that yet. I want to see, and I'm saying this in the most, I guess, professional way possible, but I want to see a guy like Corey Ballantyne join the team. You know, he's been through a lot, and I want to see him just because he's a hell of a football player, and I just want to see him, you know, just kind of continue to just get into the whole football aspect of it. And I know it's not easy, man, because he's been through, you know, a lot in his life, in his young life. So football is a great escape, and I just want to see him, and I root for him so much because he is so talented. But he's been through a lot, and you can tell, you know, some days you just want to see him just really enjoy football again.
What's your thoughts on Dexter Lawrence? So far, what's your assessment of him? Carl?
I like it. I like what he's doing, but there's one thing that I'd love to see him. I want to see him become more domineering. I want to see him become, he's starting to be disruptive, but I want to see him become more domineering. He's a big body and he can really disrupt things, but I want to see a dog. I want to see more dog in him.
I've heard that a lot lately. I heard that about Frank Ntilikina. We need to see some more
dog.
That's
Jamal Adams' word.
Jamal Adams, too. I'm telling you, that's like the new thing.
I need more dogs on my team.
Well, you know, when you have guys that are aggressive and that can be domineering, you want to see that more from those types of players because that's their makeup. That's their genetic makeup. They're not soft guys. Even though he calls himself Sexy Dexy, he needs to be... You know, rough and rowdy is what he really needs to be
Sexy
out there on the
Dexy.
Field. So,
Sexy
but he is making an impact as a rookie. Would love to see him become a little more domineering in doing so.
Is there a reason, and you're closer to the team than us, I just know they drafted Julian Love. I remember Julian Love in college, and we never see him on the football field. What are you hearing about what they think of him? Because he's barely gotten a shot to play.
Well, I believe they think highly of him, and I know he's a smart guy, and you know that's probably a question you have to ask the defensive coordinator as to you know how he fits in their rotations. But you know the expectation was that he was going to play. Now the fact that he played corner in college, and I think he's projected as a safety and maybe a slot corner as a pro could be some things that are holding him back. I can't speak on it for certain, but if he's projected to be a safety and he's transitioning, then there's a different, you know, different type of thing he's got to learn. And if he's a slot corner versus an outside corner, that also is something that is probably an adjustment. I don't know if he has failed to make certain adjustments to earn an opportunity to get on the field, but as of now, he's not, and everybody wants to know why. So I think the coaches can answer that.
What's your path to victory this week for the Giants?
Oh, that's pretty easy. Tariq Cohen. If you can contain Tariq Cohen, you've got an opportunity to win the football game. I'm not I respect the hell out of the Chicago Bears defense, but you can get some plays on them if you can run the football. And running the football will really give you opportunities for plays because they like to get all of their – they like 11 guys to the football. If you're running it, you see defensive backs aggressively going up to the line of scrimmage. And if you're doing – if you can have any success doing that, kind of like what the Rams had, you'll be able to get some plays in the passing game. But if it's a one-dimensional game, you don't have a shot. So it's Tariq Cohen containing him and running the football so that you can pass the ball.
You know, it's funny. The Bears were a team. I loved the Bears last year. I made some stupid bet a year ago, so I was all over them all year long, and obviously it didn't end well.
Right.
But they've been a big disappointment this year. And to me, there's two reasons why. One, we talked about earlier. They're not forcing nearly the same amount of turnovers.
Terrible.
The quarterback has taken a step back, and the running game, and you just touched on it. Tariq Cohen hasn't been the same weapon. They moved on from Jordan Howard. They loved this David Montgomery. For the most part, he hasn't done all that much. And so they're not running the football nearly as well. The quarterback's not running the football nearly as well. The quarterback's not nearly as good. The defense isn't forcing nearly as many turnovers. And when you add all that up, you've got
six.
A team going from 12 wins to, yeah, as Joe says, now they're 4-6, and they're mired in mediocrity right now.
But, Evan, the defense is probably playing more series, more snaps a game than they did last year because their offense just isn't as effective. And when they got to play a lot of snaps, you know, things start to change a little bit. You can look at with the Dallas Cowboys, their effectiveness on defense also, when those top defenses have to play a lot of snaps, sometimes things break down. You know, for 70, 80 plays a game, 60, 70 plays a game.
You feel good about this game this week or no?
I just gave up feeling.
No feelings anymore?
We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
I know what that feels like, giving up feeling when teams are bad. By the way, Carl.
Yeah, it's a roller coaster, man. Yeah,
very much so. Carl has given us the keys to the local game. They're brought to you by your Newark, New Jersey, and Connecticut Kia dealers. Go to KiaDealers.com to see what's possible when quality, style, and dependability meet rugged performance. Now, what do you think? What should happen to Myles Garrett? At this moment, he's done for the season. What's your kind of sense for what should happen and really what happened last week with him?
Now he's saying there was a racial slur involved, right? Didn't he say
that? Yeah, let me just say this, man. This whole thing is exhausting. The bottom line is he's suspended because he hit a guy in the head with a helmet. Bottom line. All this other nonsense that people are talking, that's for the people's court. It's exhausting. And everyone that defends this, if they would have witnessed a murder live on TV, would they still be defending it? That's the bottom line. All the rest of this, the pushing and shoving and who did what, who said what, that's a whole nother thing. And let me just say this. I don't speak for Myles Garrett, but I know that if that racial slur, 98.9% of the football players, if they heard that and got suspended or kicked out of a game, they'd be screaming from the minute they walked off the field.
No question about that, right.
And I'm going to say one thing, too, and I don't know this to be true. Again, because I don't know, I can't speak for him. But, you know, the whole idea of a racial slur was floated out there, taken off the social media and apologized for about the moment this thing happened. A reporter tweeted out, I wouldn't be surprised if Myles Garrett says that he was someone said something racial to him. And it was taken down, and the reporter apologized and said that they have no information that supports that. But then all of a sudden, it's time for his appeal a week later. This is what he brings up. But if it happened, and you're losing your mind like you are on the field, then you probably would have said that from the word go.
No,
I know.
You're
in on it.
No, you're right. You're right.
99.999% of the players in this league would do that.
And somebody would have corroborated it, and that's why the NFL said no, because not one player was able to corroborate it, and they said we have no proof of this. And it doesn't – look, Myles Garrett did something really stupid. We all know that when he's using his helmet as a weapon. His best course of action was to apologize, beg for forgiveness, and just move on. And beg.
Yeah.
That's what he should have done, because it was bad what he did. I mean, obviously, he's using his helmet as a weapon. I mean, God knows what could have happened if he connected in a different way. So,
no, I'm telling you what's going to happen. And there's not one of these talking heads on TV that would risk their career if they witnessed a murder live on TV, sit up there and go in those same chairs and say, the same things they're saying today. Well, the quarterback charged into him, and it was self-defense. What is self-defense? When you hit a guy in the bare head with a helmet. So enough. You know, the bottom line is that action required very severe punishment.
Yep.
Period. End of it.
No question.
The rest of it, that's what they got flagged and fined for.
What caused the angriest you've ever been on a football field?
Oh, I've been spit on before.
Really?
And how'd you respond?
Yeah. Oh, I went after the guy.
Well, how? Just by pushing and shoving? I mean, obviously you didn't throw your helmet at the guy.
Oh, I'm not doing that. Here's the other thing, too. If it gets to a point to where it's that serious, there are three words you say to a guy. I'll see you outside.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I've seen people outside at every level of my career, and many other players have too. And that's how you get those things settled. All of that, if it gets to that point where you feel that it's gotten that personal, then you just say to the guy, I'll see you after the game.
Right.
I'll see you outside.
Right.
And then you go see him outside and see if he still feels the way he feels.
And I'm sure every time you met somebody outside that they backed off, right? Is that basically what happened after you said that?
You get your apologies, you get whatever.
Interesting.
We had a few fights in high school, but at the pro level, it never, guys will apologize. And if they felt the way they felt about it, then it was personal and then you settle it. Simple as that.
Carl, enjoy it on Sunday. Thank you very much, as always.
You coming in now? We going to see you Monday, Carl, or no?
Monday, I'll be there.
All right.
Beautiful.
Enjoy Chicago.
See you then, man.
All right. See you.
Carl Banks on the Giants and a little bit on Myles Garrett as well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.